Last year, you may remember that we worked our way carefully on those cards that you might have seen around, and we had this idea.
Connect it to the people where they're at. I love the irony in the passage that was read for us by Mark, chapter 5. You see, what are the Sanhedrin supposed to be doing? What is their job? It's to teach the people. They're the scribes, the elders. They're the ones who are supposed to know the Bible. Where are they supposed to be doing that? Well, here's another irony. Herod, the great persecutor of the Lord Jesus, built Solomon's coronation. What did he build? He built the place where God's going to be declared to the people. He built the place where Jesus would stand and say to everybody, follow me, I'm the one you need. And the great irony is this Sanhedrin are supposed to be there doing the teaching, but they're in a back room somewhere trying to connive how to hang on to power. Right, go and get them out of the prison. We're ready for them. But they're not there. Where are they? They're doing the teaching. They're proclaiming the Lord Jesus. Friends, it's going to be a bit like that. There's the more formal opportunity in the right place of Solomon's coronade. There's the informal opportunity of being freed from prison and put there miraculously. There's going to be an opportunity in all sorts of places, in all sorts of ways, to present this Lord Jesus. The Old Testament is so rich, there are many tracks we can take through to Jesus. Yes, promise fulfilled. Yes, the scarlet thread of redemption, if that's the one that connects. Sin is black and dark. The love of God shines like a light into the world. All of these tracks can be used to present the Lord Jesus. So this is what we do. And we're going to explore that in the weeks to come. But when do we do it and where do we do it? Two more brief thoughts. And they're fairly obvious from the passage. When are we to be about this transforming work? Every day is the answer. This is a whole life thing. It's not new. This is something that has marked the church from the very beginning. It marked the Lord Jesus Christ when he took disciples. He walked with them every day and went with them where they were. He met them where they were. But in chapter 2 and verse 42, we find that it marked the early church. And the same phrase is used now. Sorry, not 42. But 46. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. Those two phrases come again in this passage, marking for us that this hasn't changed. As the gospel spreads to a broader audience, this is one of the ways we do it. We do it every day. From the very beginning, the church has been all about transformation. Some were set apart to it, like the apostles, by their calling and supported by the gift of money given by others and sent on missionary journeys, as we shall find as we go through Acts. Others worked as they talked and talked as they walked and worked. And Paul will from time to time do that too. We have to have this conscious mindset. Today, God is planning a transformation. Someone somewhere who I meet today, God has in mind to transform. Will I be about that work? Will I be involved in that work? In my transfixed and transformed life, will I share that with others today? Our daily morning prayer should be, Lord, use me today to transform others. Give me opportunity to evangelize, to talk about peace through Jesus, to talk about the kingdom of God. If somebody says to me, this government's gone to the dogs, well, let me tell you about a kingdom that it won't be like this. It'll be so much better. Let me talk about my Lord Jesus, my friend, my savior. Let me talk about promise fulfilled, turning from vanities, resurrection from the dead. Every day, begin the day by asking God to use you in that transformational way. Is that your prayer? Perhaps you'll make it your prayer every day this week, every day this month. Finally then, where are we to do this? Well, the text very clearly says, in the temple and in various homes. It's one of those little bits of Greek that you can't translate directly. So house to house, various homes. Basically, it's designed, I think, by God's grace to be inclusive rather than exclusive. We're not supposed to find a distinct meaning that says the apostles went to number one and then number three and then number five. You can do it like that if that works. But what it means is they went where they were welcome in people's homes, wherever they could go in people's homes. In the temple, yes, the great big central once in the kingdom place of public stand. If you have a once in the kingdom opportunity to speak for God, national television, tell us so that we can pray for you and grab it with both hands. God won't let you down. Do you remember those who've done that recently, like Rosemary and Hazel Mary Bull, the guest house owners, and some of their testimony, the Ashes Bakers, as they've been seen on television. Some of that testimony is very clear, very helpful, very positive. Not many of us will get that opportunity. But it says from house to house as well, which is the everyday. Most everybody has somewhere to live, to lay their head. That's what it means. So from that once in a kingdom place to the everyday where you meet, this is where we are to do this. Now, I freely admit that the they in this verse refers to the apostles. It would be stretching the Greek in the extreme if I were to conclude anything else. The passage has been all about the apostles. So that's the weakness in our memory verse this year. But I don't believe it gives you a cop-out. I don't believe it allows you to say that only Steve and I have the responsibility of evangelizing in the temple and house to house. As we go on through the next section of the Acts of the Apostles, we will see time and time again, yes, there will be appointed people to have roles of leadership and public ministry. But there will also be many others who are drawn out. And when you get to Paul's letters, it's absolutely clear, because at the end of some of those letters, there are lists of names and we don't know who they are. They were the ordinary people in the church who'd come to attention because they'd gone out and spoken and said something, and God had used them to transform others. And if Paul had written those letters 3 weeks later or a month earlier, perhaps that list would have been different, because the news would have been of others who'd just done something. The fact is, those who were transfixed by the Lord Jesus and who knew the transformed nature of life because of the Lord Jesus are used to speak to others, all of us. Those who knew the account of the life of Jesus, who could proclaim the name of Jesus, who could speak peace through Jesus, taught it in public and in private. And that's what we're going to find as we go on. Paul will continue in this style. He will tell us, he goes house to house using exactly these words Luke will say of Paul in chapter 20 and verse 20. And when the formal is not possible, so you remember in one place, they start in the synagogue, there's a great schism and they're kicked out, and he goes next door to someone's house. And so he preaches there instead. If you want to, this is so very clear to us. Where are we to do it? In every opportunity that we are given. When are we to do it? Every day. Will you pray today that you might grab that opportunity? What are we to say? What are we to do? We are to evangelize. We are to proclaim the name of Jesus, if that is the appropriate way. We are to declare the truth about Jesus as the answer to the world's problems, if it is in one of those more challenging ways. And we're going to explore all of that as we go through the book of Acts over these coming weeks, to be a transforming church, transfixed by Jesus, transformed ourselves first, and then transforming the world around us. I trust you'll join with us. I trust you will find this a blessing. I trust you will share in the ministry and the opportunities that we work out and take together. Let me pray. Our Father God, we thank you for the glorious gospel that we have to proclaim. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ does indeed shine brighter than all of this dark world. And we do pray again, as we spent last year thinking, that we would be transfixed by him. Lord, fix our eyes on Jesus. And let us not be drawn to think of other things. Lord, Would you come again and transform our hearts? We thank you for that great and wonderful transformation that you have done in us already from sinner to saint. And if there's one here who doesn't know that, Lord, perhaps touch them today for that. But would you transform us again, for we're not perfect yet. Each of us must change. Would you show us how we should change today, how we should change this week, how we should change this year? And Lord, would you use us to be a transforming people? Will you use us to declare the name of Jesus? Would you use us to evangelize in these various ways? As we study your word, would you reveal to us the way you would have us evangelize here and now in this time and place? And would you grant us the opportunity to do that daily and wherever we are? Indeed, national TV, if that's possible, but from house to house for certain. Our Lord Jesus Christ, use us for your glory. Transform this community in which we are, our country, and have praise given to your name by many, many people, we pray. In Jesus' name.